Lord, as we look into your word this morning, we're reminded of the fact that we're looking at spiritual truth. And spiritual truth must be spiritually discerned. And so, Lord, we rely upon your Holy Spirit to open up spiritual truth to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the Scripture, that we might look into it and learn more of you and see how you want us to live. Lord, do heart surgery this morning with your word. Do a work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There are different reasons why people go to church. Some feel obligated to go to church. Others are dragged to church by mom and dad. But I hope that for most of us here this morning, we've come to church because we know that there is a God. And that he's wonderful. And that he's powerful. Most of us have gathered together here this morning to give God our worship, our time, our attention. And I am so thankful that God is knowable. God actually wants us to know about him and to know him personally. God has revealed himself to people. We've seen that in our study so far here on Sunday morning of the great I Am. In our first study, God proclaimed his name to Moses. Remember that mysterious, wonderful name, Yahweh. I am who I am, the great I am. That's God wanting to disclose, wanting to reveal, wanting to show himself. As we studied last week, we learned that God has revealed himself to every single person on the planet through his creation, through nature. Psalm says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. You can look at creation and see that there is a God, that he's powerful. And you can learn a lot of wonderful things about God just by looking at his creation. And I believe just by looking at the creation of God, you can understand that there is a God and that you are accountable to him. But then there's another specific way that God has chosen to reveal himself to us. And this is our topic this morning. God has chosen to reveal himself very specifically in what theologians call special or propositional revelation. That is, God has chosen to reveal himself through actual words written down on paper. Through a book. And this is important revelation, my brother, my sister. You can learn a lot about God from creation, but it's in the Bible that you learn about how you get right with God, the specifics of God. He's given us his word that we might learn more about what he's like, who he is, what he expects from us. The Scripture, the Bible. I like to look at the Scripture, the Bible, as a love letter that has been written by God to me. That's how I like to view it. In fact, many times when I just open the Bible, I'll think of it as this is a letter that was written by God out of love to me. And I would challenge you and exhort you to think about that the same way. When you take time to read the Bible, you might even think, as you look at a passage before you read it, put on the front of it, Dear Joe, or Dear Susie, whatever your name is. And then read the passage and at the end of it say, Love God. This is God's love letter to you. Do you delight in reading it? Do you take the time? I read about a young man who was determined to win the affection of a lady who refused to even talk to him anymore. He decided that the way to her heart was through the mail. So he began writing her love letters. He wrote a love letter every day to this lady. 6-7 times a week, she got a love letter from him. When she didn't respond, he increased his output. 3 notes every 24 hours. In all, he wrote her more than 700 letters. She wound up marrying the postman. God has written 66 love letters to us, all contained in the Bible. They reveal His heart of love towards us. Do you open them and do you fall in love with Jesus more and more? Or are you allowing yourself to fall in love with other influences? In the first part of Psalm 19, it speaks of general revelation of God through creation. We studied that last week. Look at what it says about God's love letter beginning in verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Oh, the blessed Bible, the Scripture. The longest and simplest love letter ever written was the work of a Parisian painter named Marcel de Leclerc in 1875. He wrote a letter that contained the phrase, Je vous aime, I love you in French, 1,875,000 times over and over. And he did that by hiring a scribe, and he dictated that letter to the scribe. So he said that phrase, the scribe repeated that phrase, and then wrote down that phrase. So that phrase, I love you, was uttered orally and in writing 5,625,000 times before it reached its destination. Guys, if you're going to do that for your wife for Valentine's Day, get started now. In the Bible, God tells you over and over again, I love you. And He doesn't do it by just saying, I love you over and over again. He tells you, I love you in different ways, in different languages. In this passage, you see different synonyms that are used for the Scripture. Look at verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's one way to think of what the Bible is, God's love letter. It's the law of the Lord. In the Hebrew, it's the word Torah. It means written code. It means detailed instructions, detailed blueprints, detailed directions. And yes, if you look into the Bible, you will find detailed instructions on how God wants you to live your life. It's a comprehensive manual on living life, and there's all kinds of instructions in it, packed full of directions. Now, someone once said, to write a good love letter, you will begin without knowing what you are going to say and end without knowing what you have said. That's not the type of love letter that the Bible is. It's not just filled with sweet nothings. It's packed with detailed information, and it's an act of love. God says, I love you so much, let me give you the instructions for living life in such a way that will keep you happy and blessed. The Bible's the law of the Lord. Look what else verse 7 says the scripture is. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The Bible contains the testimony of the Lord. That is the expert witness of God. We hear of expert witnesses in courts of law. You know, the lawyers, they'll invite up expert witnesses who know about certain circumstances and situations, and they get up there and they give expert testimony. God is an expert witness on spiritual truth. He's an expert witness on life. He's an expert witness on eternity. Heaven, hell, origins, where we come from. And in the Bible, you have his expert testimony on these wonderful, amazingly important things. Talk about going to the source. In the Bible, God says, I love you. Let me tell you about the most important things in life. In verse 8, notice what the scripture is called. The statutes of the Lord are right. Statutes. In this love letter, you have statutes. You have precepts. You have principles. I like to think of these as golden nuggets of wisdom. Statutes refers to these overall general sorts of principles that you can apply to life in general. You find that all over the Bible, these beautiful truths that you could apply to different areas in your life. For instance, Jesus told us what the two most important commandments are. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, all the rest of the commandments hang on those two. That's an overall statute. It's a principle that guides your life. Love God and love people, and you can apply that to any situation in your life. Oh, there's golden nuggets of wisdom that God has given to us in his love letter. He loves you so much, he's given you the information by which you can be wise. In verse 8, scripture is called the commandment of the Lord. You open up the love letter, you open up the Bible, and you find commandments from God. That is authoritative orders from the Lord, where God has given us commandments which we are to obey without question. Commands in the Bible, commands from God to us. And those are orders that we're to follow. The 10 most famous commandments are what? The 10 commandments. And those are in fact commandments. God didn't say these are my 10 suggestions. They're commandments. Now many people look at the commandments of God and think, that's not love. That's God being restrictive. Oh, no, it's not. God has given us commandments to keep us safe, to protect us, to safeguard us. When God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not commit murder, or thou shalt not covet, that's God protecting us in love, telling us what's off limits, those things that bring danger. If you were to come over to my house and see a note maybe that I posted above our oven in the kitchen that said, obviously addressed to my kids, "Thou shalt not touch the orange burner." Would you think that I was being a restrictive dad? No, that's a father who loves his kids and wants to save them from being hurt and stung. And in God's love letter, he's given us those commandments. In verse 9, it says, "The fear of the Lord is clean." Fear not really being a synonym for Scripture, but rather something that the Scripture will create in your heart as you read it. You look in the Bible and you see these wonderful things about God and how powerful He is, and it'll cause you to worship Him and revere Him and respect Him. It says there at the end of verse 9, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." In the Scripture, in the Bible, in this love letter, you have the judgments of God put down for us to see. The idea is official decisions that have been handed down in a court of law. The official proclamation of legal verdicts. In this love letter, we have the official proclamation of legal verdicts that have come down from the judge in heaven. You look in it and you see His judgment on the condition of man. And in the Bible, God says, mankind has sinned. And sin is punishable by death. An eternal separation from God. That's a verdict that's been declared from heaven and it's written in the love letter. But then it goes on and God declares in His word how one might be forgiven of their sin. And how He sent Jesus, who came and died on the cross for our sins. That if you might give your life to Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven of all your sins legally. A legal verdict issued from heaven. Those who've accepted Christ, I will justify them. That's a legal term used in the New Testament. Which means I will legally forgive them of all their sins and I will impute the righteousness of God to that person. All of these wonderful things, different ways that God tells us that He loves us in His love letter. Look at the adjectives that describe the Bible in this passage. Verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect." It's perfect. The Bible is perfect. It's a Hebrew word that means complete, whole, sound. God has given us a letter which contains all of the information that we need to know. All of it. Nothing missing. It's a complete, whole letter. Everything that we need to know about life and godliness. It says in 2 Timothy, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Do you believe that? This book has everything you need to know. It's complete. Nothing lacking. A couple years ago on Christmas Eve, I was putting together a toy for Lindsay. You know what we do on Christmas Eve, the dads. And lots of instructions to this toy. And my instruction booklet was missing a couple of pages. It went from instruction 4 to like instruction 8. Now, just so you know, I'm a guy who desperately needs instructions when putting anything together. And I remember struggling through that night trying to get that toy together for my precious girl. Listen, in the Bible, there's not one instruction missing. It is absolutely complete. Everything that God wants you to know is in the Bible. Look how else it's described in verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure. That is, it's rock solid. It's firm. This is a document that you can bet your life upon. You can bet your eternal destiny upon the Bible. It's sure. It's certain. Verse 8, it says, the statutes of the Lord are right. That is, straight. Not crooked whatsoever. When you read the Bible, you don't find any ulterior motives. There's no manipulation. It's straight to the point. The commandment of the Lord is pure, it says in verse 8. Morally innocent. The fear of the Lord is clean. Scripture is without dirt. It endures forever. It says the judgments of the Lord are true. The idea being it is absolutely faithful. In Scripture, you find all these promises of God. And I want you to know this morning that God is faithful to keep every one of those promises. And His word is righteous, that is just. And it says righteous, true and righteous all together. Everything, all books, every letter, every word in the written word of God, all of it is altogether righteous, true, perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, enduring forever. What a letter we have. Amen. God's love letter to us. This passage also tells us about the amazing impacts that Scripture can have on your life. See, I want you to understand this morning, you may not know it, you're holding the Bible this morning, you may not know it, but you're actually holding spiritual dynamite. You're holding power. You're holding a supernatural book. Divine in origin. Can change your life forever. Look at the impact this letter has on people. And back up again in verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. This book converts souls. It changes people on the inside. It deals with the souls of people, the heart of people. This Bible is so powerful, it won't just help a person modify their external behavior. No, it will transform a person from the inside out. It'll make you born again. It'll change your soul. It will convert you. It'll transform you. There's been so many times where I've read my Bible and I know that God is doing heart surgery. You ever felt God poke around in your soul as you're reading His Word? It's almost like He just peels you wide open, doesn't He? And He gets in there and starts working. It's a spiritual book and it changes you. As Christians, you read the Bible and it changes you spiritually. You grow. You mature. You're always learning. You're always developing. All of the many stories about people's lives and how they've been changed by reading the Bible. Christians who have backslidden. Maybe Christians who went to church as kids and they grow up and for whatever reason they desert church. They rebel against the Lord. And you hear stories about them going back to that book that they used to read in Sunday school as a kid. They read it and they get changed. Their soul gets changed. They come back to the Lord. God uses them. So many beautiful stories. Or how people have become born again just by reading the Bible. I don't know if you remember, but I think it was a little over a month ago, we had a representative from the Gideon's ministry here to speak with us on Sunday morning to share their ministry. And many of you, those of you who know about the Gideon's ministry, all they do is place Bibles. That's their whole ministry. They put Bibles in hotel rooms, right? All over the place. And you should see the testimonies they have of how people have been changed just by picking up a Gideon's New Testament, reading it, and watching their whole life change. I went to their homepage the other day. There's always testimonials. A guy by the name of Burkina Faso, some Asian country, he wrote, or the story of him is, while in high school, Batino lived according to the world. One day the Gideons came to his school and he received a New Testament. Having been raised in a different religion, this man did not begin reading the New Testament right away. But after a while, he opened the book and began to read, and over the next 6 months, he read God's Word, and then it happened. He gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and today he's a pastor winning others to Christ. Just by reading a New Testament. From Senegal comes this testimony. My name is Alois, and I was at school in Dakar when the Gideons gave us New Testaments. To myself, I say, be careful. 3 years later came a day when I was very anxious and I decided to open my little book and I read in John 14. That day my eyes and heart were open, and since that date I know Jesus. Hallelujah, he says in his testimony. How many stories of people picking up this spiritual dynamite and reading it and being changed. It converts the soul. It's powerful. What else it does in verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Reading God's word will make you wise. It'll bring you wisdom. You'll get knowledge, all of the various instructions, but you also get wisdom. You get the statutes. If you really want to get smart and wise, read the Bible. So many people have such book smart and they go and read all these different other books and yet they refuse to read God's Word. Listen, real wisdom is found in this book. The idea here is that as you open God's love letter and read it, it safeguards you. It keeps you from straying. It keeps you from drifting. It says it makes wise the simple. Simple is a word that refers to a simpleton. Someone who's simple-minded. Someone who's naive. Someone who's easily persuaded. And there's so many people out there like that. They drift from one religion to another. From one philosophy to another. They get involved in this cult or that cult. And there they drift. And they're simple and they're naive and they're swayed. This book will make wise the simple. It'll safeguard you. It'll keep you on the right track. And I just thought I would encourage any young person here this morning who's about to go into college. Maybe you're about to go get some more education. I want to encourage you. There's going to be a lot of books that you're going to be asked to read, but be sure to keep your nose in this book. Because there's lots of professors out there that would love to change your mind. In fact, a true quote from a university professor. He says, one of my callings in life is to shatter the faith of naive fundamentalists as they come to my class. He says, just give me a room of young, naive evangelicals and let me at them. You can just watch them drop like flies hit with rage when I challenge their faith in a deliberate, consistent manner. Lots of people would like to persuade you differently. This book safeguards you. It keeps you wise. It makes the simple wise. Keep your nose in this book and make a simpleton of that professor, would you? God's love letter, a book that would keep you wise. What else it does? Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. God's love letter will put rejoicing in your heart. It'll give you true joy. It'll cause you to become elated, bubbling over with joy. See, you can't help but read God's word and learn all this wonderful information about God and be filled with joy. In fact, it literally says in the Hebrew that the statutes of the Lord will make merry in your heart. You know, like Merry Christmas at this time of the year? You can be merry in your heart by reading God's love letter. And I know we're at a time of year that's full of celebration and a lot of fun and a lot of activity, but you do know that a lot of people get depressed at this time of the year. They're in despair. They're lonely. Maybe I would even be describing someone here this morning. Let me exhort you. Doctor's orders. Turn off the TV sometime this week. Stay away from the mall one night. Open up God's love letter. Read a book, read a passage. And see if it won't make merry in your heart. See if it won't cause you to rejoice and be glad in your heart. Supernaturally does that. I love at the end of verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. This is what the Bible does. It enlightens people's eyes. Literally, it causes people's eyes to shine. It puts light in a person's eyes. The idea is the Bible is that book which will put the twinkle in your eye, the spark in your eye. It's that part of you that gives you a zest for life. You know the meaning of life. You walk around with a skip in your step, a sparkle in your eye. God's word gives that to you. It enlightens your eyes. You know, eyes are windows to the soul. And I love to try to make eye contact with people as I run across them during the day. And isn't it sad when you see some of the eyes of people that you look into? Maybe on the street or in the shopping mall. Have you ever looked into sad eyes? Or those lonely eyes? I was driving down the road the other day and at the stoplight right on the corner was a teenager. And I noticed his eyes. They were so hollow. They were so void of any meaning. Like black holes. A good read of God's love letter will turn the lights on. It'll give meaning to your life. It enlightens the eyes. And it does so supernaturally as you're exposed to truth and the love of God. Such an amazing letter, this book. The Bible will also search you and expose you. It's a book that's alive. Many times you read the book and you think, I'm going to go search the scriptures. You ever thought, I'm going to go search the scriptures? And then you open the Bible and you find it searching you. That's what it does. Look down in verse 12. David says, who can understand his errors? David says, I don't understand my own errors. Cleanse me from my secret faults. David would say, I have faults that are secret even to me. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. David, I love this. He essentially says, I'm such a sinner that I have secret sins that I'm not even aware of. David would say, I have errors that I'm not even aware of. And I need to become aware. I need them to become plain. And the Bible will do that for you. As you read the scripture, things will come to light. Things in your life will be identified. See, we are so filled with sin as sinners, it's possible to not even realize some of your sins. Even for Christians. There are even Christians, all of us, that have our blind sides where we have an area in our life that's holding us back. It's sinful and we can't even see it. We're blind to it. We're deceived to it. And that's why you have to go to the love letter, for the love letter reveals the secret faults, the errors. And so sometimes this really is a tough read. It is. And for that reason, many people will reject it. In fact, one person said, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. Absolutely true. But God has given us a letter to expose these things in our life, to look in as a mirror, as James says, again, because he loves us. He wants us to see those things about our lives that are holding us back. Read this book. Take time to open the love letter. There was a guy who was cutting down an old oak tree. Powerful chainsaw was cutting through it and it ran right into a foreign object. And there embedded in the tree was a .22 caliber bullet, once hidden from view, now made visible by the cutting asunder of the tree. From the outside, the point of entry was no longer visible, but on the inside, the path of the bullet had clearly left its mark in the wood. Compared to the size of the tree, it was an extremely small mark, yet by its presence had caused the area surrounding it to turn black with rot. Had one been present when the bullet entered the tree, it would have been possible not only to see the mark, but to dig the bullet out. However, with the passing of time, the tree grew larger and stronger, the bark had grown thicker, and the bullet remained hidden, a part of that tree. The author goes on to say, just as the bullet penetrated into the tree, so sin penetrates us. The point of entry may not be visible to anyone else, but that sin becomes embedded in our lives. And unless it is removed, it causes a growing spot in your life to rot. And that's why we need the Bible. To expose those things, to reveal those things, that we might get those things cleaned up. Such a marvelous, wonderful, awesome book. What are you going to do with it, my friend? What should be your response to this morning? Desire it. Crave it. Give yourself to it. How quickly we forget what we have and what we're holding. Seek the Lord in it. Give your attention to it. Desire it. In fact, look what David said in verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. The statute, the instruction, the law, the judgments. All of that we're to desire, as David says, more than gold. And he even clarifies, desire it more than gold, yea, than much fine gold. The idea is not just regular gold, but gold that has been completely refined, pure gold, and a superabundance of gold. Desire this book more. In fact, let me give you just a simple illustration. Let's say God invited you to walk into a room. And before you get into the room, he says there's two objects in it. You're going to come out with one. You need to make a choice. And so you walk into a room, and on one side of the room is that pot of gold. It's a treasure chest. Gold is overflowing the pot, overflowing the chest, and it is absolute pure gold. And then on the other side of the room is a copy of the Holy Scriptures, and you're to choose. Which do you choose? Oh, the lottery. Or do you choose the Holy Scripture? God says that my love letter is so important, you should be willing to choose that over much fine gold. Over any amount of money. I love it. By the way, you remember a king by the name of Solomon who was essentially given that choice? Solomon, right before he came king, God said, request anything you want of me. And Solomon could have requested anything, right? Gold, riches. You know what he requested as a young man? Young boy, really. Wisdom. So I choose wisdom. Because I want to know how to lead this country, this kingdom. And God said, because you've chosen wisdom and not riches, I'll make you the wisest person who has ever lived. Oh, and by the way, I'll throw in the gold. And as you know, Solomon became one of the wealthiest men who ever lived. But would you choose wisdom over gold? Desire the Bible. Crave it. Read it. A man in Kansas City was severely injured in an explosion. This is a true story. Evangelist Robert L. Sumner tells about him in his book. Listen to this. The victim's face was badly disfigured. He lost his eyesight as well as both hands. He was a brand new Christian, and one of his greatest disappointments was that he could no longer read the Bible. Then he heard about a lady in England who read Braille with her lips. Hoping to do the same, he sent for some books of the Bible in Braille. Much to his dismay, however, he discovered that the nerve endings in his lips had been destroyed by the explosion as well. One day, as he brought one of the Braille pages to his lips, his tongue happened to touch a few of the raised characters, and he could feel them. Like a flash, he thought, I can read the Bible using my tongue. At the time Robert Sumner wrote his book, this man had read through the entire Bible four times with his tongue. How many times have you read through the Bible with your eyes? Where is it? Where's that desire? It's the most important book you could ever read. It's his love letter to you. Wow. Desire it. What else should you do? You should keep it. Verse 11. Moreover, by them your servants is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Keep the Bible. Apply it to your life. Let it fashion your life and the way you live. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Allow the Bible to cleanse you, to bring washing to you and your soul. David says that by reading the Word, he can become blameless. Let the Word of God sanctify you, Christian. Let it change you and become, turn you into one who's more and more like Jesus Christ. What else can we do with the love letter? Meditate on it. Verse 14, David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. David said, Lord, I want to please you in my thoughts and with the words that come out of my mouth. And let me tell you, what better way to please God than have the thoughts of your mind be that of Scripture? Precepts, words in the Bible. Meditate on His Word. God's love letter. I just want to remind you of these things this morning, my brother and sister in Christ. I want you to remember the power of the book that is in your possession, in your language, which you can read. And it's this book that reveals God to us, who He is and what He's like. And it's a love letter that's been written to you. And what makes this book the most important book you'll ever read is that this book will introduce you to the lover of your soul. You get to know the author by reading this book. You get to know God. You find out how to have a relationship with God. This book by itself won't convert you. You can't just like hold it and you change. It's not like that. It's the information in this book that changes you. It's introducing you to the Savior, to the God who loves you. And all over this book, God says, I love you. And He can change you. The Bible says not only has God written this to us, but He also stands at the door of everybody's heart and knocks. He's written you letters and He knocks. Do you know Him? Have you opened the door? For 42 years every week, David Thomas slipped a love letter under the door of his neighbor, Rachel Jones. Each letter attempted to mend the lover's quarrel that parted them when both were 32. Rachel Jones burned each letter and refused to talk to this guy. Finally, David summoned courage to knock on her door and proposed. She accepted. Both were 70 years old when marriage finally came. Don't wait 42 years to open the door for the lover of your soul. Oh, he slipped notes. He's wooed you. He knocks on your door. The great I am, the one who wants to be your Savior. Let's bow our head and let's close our eyes. Lord, first of all, this morning, all of us together, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for this letter written in love to us. And we believe and reaffirm and acknowledge again this morning that your word is perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, it endures forever. It's true and righteous altogether. And we acknowledge this morning the power of your word. Its ability to convert our souls. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. And thank you for wanting us to know you. I ask, Lord, for anyone here this morning who's down, I pray that your word would do a rejoicing work in their heart. You'd fill their lives with joy this season. Lord, I pray for my brothers, any of my brothers and sisters here this morning who have lost their hunger, their appetite for your word. I pray that you would replenish that, that you would set them on fire again to know you more in your word. And then, Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who needs to add meaning to their life. Who needs to have the lights turn on. The message of the Bible is that God loves you. But that it has been declared that all have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God. And you must admit to God, first of all, that you're a sinner. But then the Bible says that God sent Jesus, the Son of God. Born in Bethlehem, placed in that manger, grew up, crucified on the cross for your sins, raised to new life. And you can be legally forgiven of all your sins for all of eternity if you will embrace the Savior this morning and ask Him to be your Savior, ask Him to come into your life. And you will come into a wonderful relationship with Him. If that's you this morning, you have an opportunity to make a public decision. If you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ for the first time ever, raise up your hand high so I can see it. Just indicate that by raising up your hand high so that we can see it up here. Jesus is knocking at your door. Will you open your door this morning? If I see your hand raised this morning, that's an indication that you're opening your door. Anyone here this morning? Just a couple more moments. Then, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us stand together. And let us close our service this morning with another song of praise. Let's praise God for His word this morning, shall we? And for the sending of Jesus.